A great radio thought to what you know when you said you could put both things in the oven. And I thought back to basically learn the rules of the kitchen from up here.
Right.
I wasn't fortunate. I go to day school, so I had afternoon school, and I didn't have any classes necessarily in halakha for the kitchen, or we didn't have any cooking classes. I know a lot of them when she went through, there was a cooking class, there was more halakha classes or whatever.
You could look it up on the internet.
Yeah, right. And so, and I thought back with my mother's stove, and I pictured our kitchen growing up, and it was. It wasn't much bigger than this, was your oven, needless to say.
Yeah.
You basically put in your Flachics or whatever. I don't even remember putting Milchix in. I don't remember having anything hot.
You don't remember ever having, like,
hot
Milchix?
Hot Milchix. It was basically Flachics. And so, therefore, the topic of putting both in the same oven never came up because the oven wasn't big enough to hold two things.
Right, right. I mean, I think that was also, you know, the issue came up, remember, when he talked about, the Shulchan Aruch talked about a case where it was not kosher items. So how in the world would any Jew ever let a non-kosher item be in his oven? The answer was, it wasn't his oven.
You were using somebody else's.
Yeah, you were using the local baker's oven?
Right.
You were,
right. Remember growing up, they would take their, something went to the baker's oven. But the baker was also part of the village and was, you know, also Jewish.
Well, if you had a Jewish, yeah, in the village. I mean, obviously, these are the things developed, and we're talking from the times of the Gemara as well. Okay, so in the times of the Gemara, these were they didn't have nearly as much. There wasn't as you know problems in places. There were less established Jewish communities, and so on and so on. Okay.
So things came up over here, so we expanded our education. Just as I said, we now pulled out an onion. I remember when we learned about cutting an onion. Years I cut onions incorrectly, and then. My
keep this over here.
And her new son-in-law was there, and he informed her that she's cutting her onion wrong. And
she's cutting her onion wrong. We're going to find out what in the world that means.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to, Manny Middleman brought this in. I don't think he brought it in for this reason today, but this is an article that appeared in the Jewish press, which I don't always quote. Okay, I remember, I recently spent a weekend out of state, this is by Rabbi Mendel Epstein, called Chumras. I found a newsletter from a local yeshiva. The girls' halacha teacher recommended that it is preferable to have two ovens, one milchik and one fleishik. Right, and this is germane to our topic last week. I used to be amused when I read opinions in halacha that were silly, but I am no longer amused since many people take these opinions seriously. Rav Eliashiv Shlita has one sink in his small apartment in Meir Shearim, and even the most holiest of tzaddikim had one sink and one oven. To say that they lived a life in kashrus that was less than preferable is arrogant and blasphemous. The role of a halacha teacher and a true posik is to make life more livable, not more stringent. And I thought that was a very, apropos piece of information. And I say it always. It's the job of these halacha classes is to teach you what to do and how to do it right. Sometimes you discover you didn't know that there are things that you could do that you didn't know you could do. And sometimes you discover you weren't doing it the right way. But the job is to find our job is to figure out what's the right way to do it, what's the proper way to do it. And yes.
I received the shell of lentils. It was a humantash. Very nice.
Uh-huh.
It said this was cooked in a meat oven. I learned this. I obviously missed that. I think it was the week before when I wasn't here.
Yeah.
It was still powerful, wasn't it?
Yeah. Based on what we learned last week, last week, unless what?
They were cooking meat at the same time.
Unless they were cooking meat at the same time. Or it was a small oven, right? Uncovered meat. But normally we assume that that's not the situation. That's not the case. So we're okay. So I got the following question from Beth Raz, and she said it was okay to use her name. Right? This week I got the question.
Is this a
package.
Yeah. Pack.
Okay? So it is actually very relevant. She said the following. I'm giving out. Okay. She said...
One more.
What? Oh, sorry.
What did she say?
She was making a soup that she wanted to make in her milchik pot with her milchik utensils. And in the soup called for an onion. So, she accidentally used a fleishik knife on a milchik cutting board to cut the onions for the milchik soup. Then, she took that milchik soup used a Melachic ladle and spooned it into a Melachic ceramic bowl. And she therefore wants to know, what is the halacha? What's the halacha? Can she now use that soup? What's the halacha of the soup? What's the halacha of the, is it Melachic or Plashic? What's the status of the knife, the cutting board, and the pot? And what's the status of the bowls? Do you have enough? Everybody have?
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody see the question? Okay, Ben, you got it. You make the call. This is what you know.
Oh.
Now ask me the questions.
Everything was cold.
I always answer straight that I turn out I learn a leniency.
Okay.
Okay. Is the soup kosher? I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Is it milchic or fleshic?
It's going to be milchic.
Okay.
No, it's parv.
Okay.
Milk pot and made a parv soup.
Well, you forgot to ask me questions. What questions now are you going to ask me?
How long before she used the knife?
Good. How long before had she used the knife?
Yeah.
Well, why is that relevant?
Whether
the knife had a cold.
Actually, that question we're going to see is not relevant, but okay. But not for a reason that you think. Okay.
Was it hot or cold?
Ah, well, was it hot or cold? When I was cutting, that's a very important question. Was the onion that I was cutting hot or cold? But usually when you cut onions, you can assume that it's cold. What other questions do you want to know?
What about maybe the amount of soup? What did he make the onion?
Okay, that's a very good question.
What did he make the cold soup? That was gazpacho or make cold soup?
Well, she put it in a pot. She told me she cooked it. Okay, she's making a cold soup. That would be an excellent question. Okay, that's also a very good question. Another question is, when's the last time, very important question, when's the last time she used the pot? That's a very important question, as we're going to see.
A glass pot or a steel pot?
It was actually a Calphalon pot. Okay.
Metal
with a non-stick Teflon coating. Now, actually, I learned something today, because to answer this question, I needed to call Mike Posick.
Yeah, they're called who?
Mike Posick. So he told me that he's in the Orthodox Union, and he told me that in the OU they paskin that Teflon is plastic. Some people I have heard paskin that Teflon is not plastic; it's cheres. Cheres is earthenware. In the OU they say that Teflon is a polymer; it's a plastic. And therefore the OU holds that you can kosher plastic, as we're going to get into. Yes, you didn't know that, right?
They
kosher plastic. Well, OU says you can, hard plastic.
Let's leave that one.
See, you learn what you can do. So anyway, it's a very, very important halacha, and I have to call somebody up and tell them, you know, because my understanding always was, I learned today, my understanding always was that Teflon was earthenware, and it can't be kosher. You know, but it also depends on the situation and the case, what you have to do. But that's something that I learned today. Okay. So now what? You're still wondering? Yes. Well, let me ask you this question: have you ever heard of a hotel that say, "Oh, kosher for Pesach"?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. How do they wash the dishes? You know, when you go from lunch to the meal, an hour after lunch, and then the meal after that—that's an hour after that. At the hotel, I mean, I've never been there, but you know.
I worked in the cabs.
Right. Okay. Good. So how do they clean the dishes?
We had separate places. Even in the Boy Scout camp.
Wait a second. When they take over,
we had a fleshic dishwashery and a milk dishwasher.
You mean, and they kept it separate for Pesach?
Yeah.
Well, and they never used it the rest of the year?
No, I'm just saying.
Well, no, that's an important question. And hotel. You mean they never used that dishwasher the rest of the year? It was maintained kosher for Pesach?
No, that's not. I'd say fleshic and milchic they kept separate.
Correct, absolutely. But what did they do for Pesach? How did they wash the dishes? Have you ever worked in, anybody worked in a hotel in Pesach?
Yeah, I did, but I don't remember what they did.
So now describe for me, anybody ever seen an industrial dishwasher?
Yeah, they're stainless.
Wait. How do you, an industrial dishwasher is not, you don't put the dishes in.
No, they go through.
It goes through on what?
A line.
On what?
On a belt.
Doesn't just go on a belt. What goes on the belt?
The rack. Is there
rack.
What's the rack made of?
Plastic. Isn't it stainless steel?
No. The rack is made of
plastic.
Hard plastic. All the racks are made of hard plastic.
But it's rubber. When your own dishwasher is rubber.
It's plastic.
Plastic.
Yeah, it's plastic. Or the old dishwashers are more of a problem because they're enamel. They were enamel coated. Some of the racks used to be coated with enamel. But we digress. So if you can eat in a kosher for Pesach hotel, that means that they had to kosher the dishwasher, which means that they have to be using the plastic racks because there are no stainless steel industrial dishwasher racks, which means that they're kosher in plastic.
How can they not be? I mean, they can make anything out of stainless.
I don't think they make the racks too heavy, because remember they have to load them and unload them. I think they have stainless steel rack. The ones I've seen are made of hard plastic. They run them through.
I worked in the mountains, they didn't have hard plastic.
Right, okay. So that's when halacha, that's when you eat poskim, because of you go through and you have to figure out what's the halacha.
I'm surprised they
didn't. No. I'm surprised they had fire back then, but that's another issue entirely. Yes, sir.
One more question on the pot. If it's considered a plastic and you can kosher it, and you don't use your non-stick utensil, and you scratch the coating, down to the metal.
But then you can certainly kosher the metal. That's not a problem at all. The problem comes in when you're not using them, when it's Teflon. I learned something today. So good. Two. Ben, you say it's milk soup or parv soup?
I say it's parv.
Okay. Two, can I buy fruit like watermelon that's been cut up into quarters from the supermarket? Don't they use non-kosher knives?
They use non-kosher knives. You can't buy cut up fruit.
You mean you never bought a quarter of a watermelon at Kroger?
Cut it off.
Only whole? Wow, you guys are so religious. Okay. You mean you slice off a little bit on the side?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. I'm not talking about one stop. I'm sorry, when I grew up, everybody bought, who bought a whole watermelon? Who could afford a whole watermelon? You bought like a little, what?
Yeah. We all bought a watermelon when we were growing up. My mother used to buy a quarter of a watermelon. Right. I never thought of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Everybody bought a quarter of a watermelon. Okay. Now, what about at a salad bar? Can you go to a salad bar at a non-kosher restaurant and buy vegetables, cut up vegetables or fruit?
No.
Why not?
Because then what they're cutting it with, the knife that they're using.
Okay.
It could be cutting deli, and then they're going to use it to cut a tomato.
But it's cold.
What did we learn until now? What did we learn until now? How do you transfer time? How do you transfer taste?
My grease, my heat.
Heat and liquid. Or heat and direct contact. Right? You have to have heat in order to transfer taste. What do you do now? What's the halakha now? You don't have heat. Right? So why can't you buy fruit from Kroger's? Cut up at the salad bar, right? Let's say another issue. I mean, don't tell me you never did this. Can I buy kosher fish at a regular grocery store that sells non-kosher fish as well?
If you know it's kosher fish, you can buy a whole fish.
What if you're in Alaska and they're cutting up fish for you? Can you let them cut up fish with their knife?
We used to take our own knives. Air Pesach.
Didn't you go on a trip to Alaska?
Not yet.
You didn't? You never did?
No.
Who told me that they went?
On my list. I went
to the original. And you go there, and you catch your salmon, and then they cut it up for you. Right? Anytime you go fishing, the fisherman cuts up the fish for you.
But that's what they're cutting with it.
Maybe.
Why, they can take their sandwich off to the side, and their wife forgot to cut the sandwich.
In theory,
Or an octopus.
If they're cutting it up and they're doing it at the lake, they take the knife and they put it in the lake, and therefore it makes it kosher, and then they have to...
Put it in the lake? Yeah. Is putting it in the lake enough? So that's what we're going to discuss. What are the issues of knives? How do knives affect... Obviously, I have my knife here with me. How do the knives affect the food? Now, I must tell you.
Of the onion, anything with a strong taste.
Yes, very good. Absolutely. We're going to get into that, which is why the first trick question is a trick question. Remember, this halacha class is about learning, I would say, the basic principles involved in kashrus. The halachas of knives, especially when I was learning, are extremely complicated. They're extremely complicated, more complicated than many of the other halachas I found, because there are so many variables involved. That I'm trying to give you principles to understand what the issues are, but you should ask your local Orthodox rabbi if a question comes up, because they are very, very complicated, and they're not very, very simple. So the first thing we have to learn is a principle. Okay? Let's say I take this cucumber, and I cut it with a milchic knife. This is a milchic knife. This is actually a knife.
I don't carry knives around here.
You don't carry knives?
What do you need?
No, no. Would you mind getting me two plates and two napkins? Okay?
They're on the table.
Okay. Now, by the way, you can see that these knives, the way we clean them, and how do we clean them? Clean them with? How do we clean our knives?
Water.
Soap and hot water, and not just soap and water.
Detergent.
But detergent and water and?
Steel wool.
Steel wool. You clean them with some kind of, or a sponge. Sponge? An abrasive sponge? Or the soft part of a sponge?
The side that's abrasive.
The abrasive side. So we are constantly, continually in our washing, we are scraping our items. Okay? Now think back to a time before running water. Okay? Which is basically all of halachic literature up until 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Okay? When you finished with the knife, what did you do? How did you clean it?
Stuck it in the ground.
How did you clean it? You didn't stick it in the ground. We're going to talk about sticking it in the ground. Very good. There's going to be a lot of us that we're going to talk about sticking it in the ground.
You wiped it off on your pants.
That's exactly what you did.
Excuse?
You wiped it off on your pants.
If you were male and if you were female?
Your skirt.
Swept on your apron or whatever. Right? How else would you... Well, you think you would slap water to waste your time washing?
You don't have a tub of it. You just don't...
Where would you get a tub of water from?
I don't have any water.
You would have to pay somebody, right, to go get a slap a tub of water for it. Okay? What did you bring me?
Two plates and napkins, right?
And a hamatash?
Yeah.
Oh, that was for you.
You are the
hamatash. No, you go ahead. That's for you. That's fine. Okay, I was adding that for hamatash. It's very sweet. Okay, so now I take this milchic knife, you're going to, okay, and I cut my cucumber. What's on the cucumber now?
What's on the cucumber?
Mm-hmm. What's on the cucumber?
Something from the knife.
Right now, nothing, because the knife was 100% clean. Okay? Look at the knife. Now you can see the knife? Now it's got a little stuff on it. Okay? Now, would any self-respecting male clean this knife, you know, after using it? Don't answer that. No, God, no. It does matter. It's right, excavated, actually. It does matter a lot. We're going to see. Very good. Now, it's going to get a little more involved. This is the wonderful OU smoked mozzarella cheese from Trader Joe's. Anybody tasted this? Oh, good stuff. Trader Joe's OU cheese. Okay. Well, that's right there at the entrance. Now I'm going to cut the cheese. Okay, good. Now look at the knife. You can pass it around. Okay? Just pass it around. It's okay. I'm going to get it around.
Amazing.
Oh, it's good.
What's the grand knife?
You love it?
Thank you.
Oh. Okay,
we'll
call it Trader Vioda. Smoked grated mozzarella cheese. Unbelievable. Okay? You see the knife. Now, okay? Now, I'm going to do what any self-respecting male would do.
Just wait. Take a napkin and wipe it.
Good. Now look at it.
You're smeared.
Now, I take this, I'm going to use a little piece, and I take it, and I cut my, first of all, you can actually now see, look at the cucumber piece, okay? What do you see on it?
Cheese.
You see cheese on it, okay? Now, if I cut my enough cucumbers, right, you see it? No, but it's important to see. It's important to pass it around, pass the cucumber around. If I take enough cucumbers, then sooner or later, what's going to happen to the knife? It'll be clean. Except, the Rabbanan realized that in knives, especially good knives, especially knives used over a period of time, you had a layer of what's called samnunis. Samnunis is fat. Or a layer of, no, I don't want that over there. A layer of, right, that's part of, a layer of oily substance that became embedded onto the knife. Okay? And that shamnunis made the knife whatever it was. And so, even if you didn't have have heat in order to transfer a taste, nonetheless, if you cut something with one type of knife, okay, and the knife wasn't thoroughly cleaned, that item would become what the knife was. So now let's look at it in the Gemara. We'll see it in the Gemara. We're going to start source 1, page number 1. says the Gemara. We're gonna read a couple of pieces.
Okay.
What?
That's right. We have three.
You're gonna see. Absolutely. Very good. Let me see. Okay. That's good cheese. Amar Chizkia, Nishum Abaye. Okay. Chizkia said in the name of Abaye. We're actually gonna learn this first halacha later on. The halacha is Dagim Shaalu B'Ki'ara Mutar Le'echlam B'Kutach. Let's say we're gonna talk about. I make my fish in a fleshik pot. Can I eat it in milchik? We're going to talk about that. It's a category of halacha called not bar not. If I make parib in a ben yomo fleshik pot, can I eat it with milk? That's always a question. I boil this. It comes up all the time. I made my mushroom barley soup and my fleshik pot, and now I want to eat it with a milchik meal. May I or may I not? That's an entire sugya called not bar not. We're not learning that today. Okay, but that is extremely relevant towards to everyday life. Okay?
The answer to the question.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm still in the halacha.
But I got to make mushroom barley soup.
Okay. Tzinon. Now, here we go. The second line. Tzinon shechatcho b'sakin shechatach ba'basar. I have a radish, or for our purposes, an onion. Okay? That I cut with an onion that was cut with basar, with meat. Asur le'achlo b'kutach. You may not eat that onion with kutach. Kutach is it was a milchic like porridge with milk. Okay. So if I cut a radish with a plastic knife, then I can't eat that radish with milk. V'hani milei tzinon. That is a tzinon. That is a radish. The agav chorpe bala. Because of its sharpness, bala, we're going to see, bala means bolea, balia. The taste became absorbed into the radish. We're going to see. Okay, it's a sharp item. Aval kishos, but a cucumber, which is this exactly. What do you do? Garur lebe paske v'achil. If I want to eat this, let's say I have my cucumber now, I want to eat it with fleshik. So now, where is the milchik? Oh, what?
It's on the cucumber itself.
So, if I want to eat, can I eat this with pleasure?
No.
Sure I can.
Oh. You're joking.
No. That's all it is, right? What am I worried about? I'm worried that there is a shamnunis. I'm worried that there is a little bit of milk residue on the edge. Was there any time? Was there any heat? Could it become absorbed in my cucumber?
No.
No. Well, how's it going to become absorbed in my cucumber?
The cucumber is very liquid.
Yeah, I know.
So
good.
Anything with...
See, I'm like, got it off there, got it off. It's all cold. This is exactly what I'm doing. I scrape off the thing. And now, wonderful, I have now, what do I have now?
I have cucumber.
A power of cucumber. That's exactly what I have.
But
okay.
Sure, there was no cheese on the thing.
I scraped off. How much did I scrape off?
Cheese on the knife.
Oh, I used the back of the knife. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Scrape it with whatever. You know what I'm saying?
So what are you scraping with then?
A clean knife. I don't know. Something clean. Okay? You scrape it. Where's Pauline?
But it was around, wasn't it also on the border?
Okay.
I wash it.
Okay.
Cold water. That's what I
it was
ah, yeah. You can't just wash it. You can't just rinse it. You have to
physically scrape.
You have to physically scrape. This is what Rashi says. Garir ve'achil. Okay. So that and so now let's so Rashi is going to teach us. Okay. The Gemara is going to talk about Gemara. Just talks about different things. Okay. But now what we have is two ideas. We have tzinon, a radish, or an onion. Okay, so if I take this radish or this onion, I have my milchik cheesy knife, okay, and I take this, onion. Should I do it? Go for it, okay. And I cut it with my milchik knife. What did the Gemara say?
Milchik.
It's milchik. Can I scrape it?
No.
No, I can't scrape it. Why? This is what the Gemara says. Very important language. We're going to see in a second. Why? Because the agav because of chorpe, its sharpness, bala.
What is chorpe?
Chorpe means the sharpness of the radish, or in our case, an onion. Mm-hmm. Bala means it absorbed the taste. So in the onion, I cannot just scrape off, because halakhically, the rabbis felt that the sharpness of the onion caused some of the taste to become absorbed into the onion. The sharpness of the onion allowed some of the taste you got absorbed into the onion itself. And therefore, you have to take off more than that. You can't just scrape it. You have to take off, in our case, what we consider a kaday, no, kaday netila, a finger's width. Wow. So here, it's the whole onion.
Wow.
Yeah. Kaday netila, we'll see.
It would be the other way around.
Why?
The sharp taste would repel the taste, and then a bland thing would be more... would absorb it.
Well, that's not the way the rabbi saw it. That's not the halacha, the way the rabbi saw it. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi's going to explain why. Okay? Kishos, what?
That's why we have a separate knife.
Okay, right. You're going to see, by the way, that you're totally halacha. You're going to see in Shulchan Aruch. Okay? You're absolutely right. Now, by the way, just for your own edification, this is why, for this reason, we have specifically, this is a par of knife in our house. Whenever we cut onions, we always cut them with the power of knife. Why? Can you please identify for me what about this onion makes it melted?
Nothing.
Well, you'd have to look at it. You'd have to know.
You'd have to look at it. You'd have to be able to see it. So I personally believe it's always good policy to cut onions, if you can do it, with a melted knife. Unless you're like really cutting up with a power of knife. Sorry. Unless you're cutting up, you know, flank chicken, you're going to stick it right in. If you're ever going to keep the onions, some people do keep the onions, then otherwise you have an issue. Okay.
Can I have a very cool question?
Yes.
Can I get the frozen diced onions fried and I keep my frozen onions? Can you send me a power of machine?
Let me ask you a better question. Are you allowed to buy chopped up onions?
They're in a package.
With a hefter?
Dried onions
usually have a half.
Oh,
that's not what she's talking about. She's talking about the frozen package of onions. And what about, let's say, the shul is making cholent, and he's not going to sit there and cut up onions and onions. So, can he go down to Easter Market and buy a sack of frozen onions? Not frozen onions, of chopped up onions.
Yeah.
What?
Yes, and Gordon's Food Service, I think, has.
In GFS do that? I know they have it in Eastern Market. Okay, you can go buy it, but now the question is he allowed to? Can he use them? Okay, it's a good question. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says kishos. Kishos are cucumbers. So Rashi says cucumbers are, mitukahi, they're sweet. Ve'ena nivla bitocha, from the top line of Rashi, and they do not become absorbed. The taste does not become absorbed. Ella hashamnunis. See that word shamnunis? Man, you got it? The fat, the shamnunis. Okay, spelled it right, good. Saf v'omed al makom hachtach. It floats and stands at the place where you cut. Hilkach, therefore. Garir lebe paske, l'makom hachtach. Gorer ma'at, you scrape a little bit where you cut it. V'saki with a knife. V'achil b'kutach. And you can eat it even with milchit. Okay, so if somebody took a plastic knife and cut the onion, cut the cucumber, oh no, what are you going to do? Right? Then you're allowed to eat it then with milchit afterwards, as long as you scrape off the area where the cut was made. Now also, so very often, how many people cut vegetables and, you know, sometimes you'll cut like a half a pepper for a salad, or you'll cut a, you know, you put it back in the refrigerator. What kind of knife are you cutting with? Are we always sure? So the question is that important? Is that relevant? We're going to see in a second.
Is a pepper the same category as a cucumber?
Yeah, absolutely. So the answer is, our knives, when we're going to see later on, when does a knife have shamnunis on it? Okay? Shamnunis is a fat when it hasn't been cleaned. And we're going to see what the rabbis thought the halachic way of cleaning was. Okay, as you're going to see, it's in each of the karka, sticking in the ground. Okay, now that doesn't kasher a knife, it cleans a knife. It's not a way to kasher a knife, it's a way to clean a knife. What?
Way to clean it is to make it dirty?
Yes, we're going to see. Correct, exactly right. But let's say you put it in your sink, and you use steel wool, and you clean it with a soap. So that's clearly good enough to remove the shamnunis. This is a flachic knife. I think anyone can see, right? This is my flachic knife. This came from my clean drawer. There's no residue. There's no schmutz on it. There's no anything on it. Now, you would go back 100 years. You would ask them to see their knives. You would never find a knife without stuff on it. Who are they, you know? who would clean like that.
But that's why you have to have a separate steel wool.
Oh, absolutely. You have to have a separate... sure, absolutely. And that, I'm taking that for granted. You have to have Mochet Fleshig Empire, because, you know, you have...
One of me.
Really?
Yeah, they come in our kitchen and say, what's with the tree?
A par. How do you not have a par?
You look at me like kind of...
Really?
Yeah.
How else would you wash your par of night without getting a fellatio?
Yeah,
absolutely. Is that clear to everybody? I mean, I think that I take that as a given. You must have separate sponges for milk, fellatio, and par. You know, now, if you use your par for your fellatio or your par for your milchik, you're good. If you use your milchik for your fellatio, then you got to call the rabbi. Okay, let's skip down in Rashi. Aval, see what the little aleph is? Three lines into the small lines. Aval l'sakin, but for a knife, pa'amim shahakarush ala, shahashamnunis karush ala. Very often, the shamnunis, that fatty residue, is karush ala. It is congealed upon that knife. That's what happens, right? If I leave this knife, I left it right now, so you can see, right? It dried, the cheese dried, okay? And what's going to happen when I cut the cucumber or the onion? So that dried cheese, it can contact with a sharp taste or the sharp onion, and it just comes right off. It comes right into the produce. Okay? The eino nikar, and it is not recognizable. Ukishechotech bitsnon. When you cut that radish, have there's three. That's a whole sheet. That's a whole thing. Have no tain tam, haba min hamamash. Okay, first of all, you have no taint tam. What's no taint tam? There's cheese on this knife. We know, I just cut it. There's cheese on the knife. So now I have tam, plus, very important rule, okay? V'od, yibishum chorpe, because of the sharpness of the item, bala tse, midadim aroshim. There's more of an absorption even than cooking fish. Okay, so now you are looking at a, you know, dyed in the wool, tried and true, milchik onion. But if I put this onion in my soup, then the soup becomes? No, milchik. Right? Oh, if I put it in my chicken soup, it makes it tray.
But
so this is a very important little known halacha.
Save the onion for when you
never
put onion with cheese at it.
That's right. No, I saved my onion. I'm sacrificing this onion for the common good.
Right.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Right. So you are looking at a really an onion that you have to treat like milchik. And this is something that people are not aware of, because that's what happens, especially now. You're going to ask me, okay, Rabbi, that's great. Only if, what happens if I understand if the knife wasn't clean? But most housewives nowadays clean their knives. Okay? So what happens? Now I have a fleshig knife. 100% clean. What would happen if I would take this fleshig knife? It doesn't have a shamnunis on it. Right? And now I'm going to cut this second onion with my fleshig knife. Would that make it a fleshig? I understand this milchik one. We got that, right? Because the cheese, the whole thing, fine, no problem. What about this one? How would this knife affect this onion without a shamanunis, a clean one? Would it make a difference or not? We're going to answer that in a minute. Let's go to page 2 for a minute, please. Actually, we're going to answer it. We're going to answer it right now. Okay. Actually, I think I quoted you the wrong Hold on a second. I'm going to begin the Shulchan Aruch on that piece. I think it's the okay. So you have the Shulchan Aruch, turn to page 3 for a second. Simon Sadi Bav. Okay? But I think I wanted to quote for you Ifhei in Sadi Bav. Sadi Bav is Halachas of Basa Bechalav. Okay? Ifhei says the following. Here we go. Chatach kishuim besakin shel basar. I'm reading for you. You don't have it. I'm just going to read for you. I cut off sifei. My mistake. If you cut cucumbers with a milchik knife, mutter le'achlam v'chalav, with a fleshik knife, then you're allowed to eat them with milk. Begreda bilvan. Greda, all you got to do is scrape it. That's okay. Bilvan, yigra mimakam hachtach. As long as you cut off, okay. Bar im chatach bo lefet. If you cut a piece of cabbage, afilu greida eno tzarich el hadacha ba'alma. Because how's cabbage different? Or leek? Yeah, it's less. It's, we're going to see that there's a difference between them because it's less. It has a. It has less of a liquidiness that it's going to stay on. You just have to wash it off. Okay, so in the, you can see in the cucumber because it's liquidy, right? It'll wipe off the residue of the knife a lot more. Don't look at me that way. Okay, but with leeks, it's not the same way. What?
We're communicating. It's a generation thing. I really think the younger generation would probably understand some of this. We just learned differently.
Well, I'm not saying you should do this.
Right.
I mean, is that what you mean? I mean, don't do it. But I'm saying, what you would do is if you cut the milchik, if you cut a cucumber with your dirty milchik knife.
It would be
milchik. Right. That's all I'm saying. Right. Would just do that. I'm saying, I'm learning the halacha for the principle, for understanding the principle of the shamnunis. Right? And we're going to talk about also the pressure of the onion. We're going to talk about that in a second. But just to understand how that affects not only the onion, but also the cucumber as well. Okay? Now, what happens if you cut a something sharper? Okay? Let's turn to page 2 for a minute. The Gemara says the following. Sorry about that. One of the things that you cannot buy from a non-Jew, the Mishnah says, is called a kut shel chiltish, which is an amount of chiltish was a very sharp, pungent spice, or even not even a spice. It was a pungent, like a chemical almost. Okay, so the Mishnah says you're not allowed to buy it from them. So says the Gemara, see what source 2? Says the Gemara, my tama, what is the reason? So the Gemara says why. Yishum demasike libisakina. Right, because they cut it with their knives. Since they cut it with their knives, the non-Jew cuts it with their knives, so therefore they make...
Because it's a sharp
taste. It's a sharp taste. They cut it with their knives, so therefore that makes this spice, whatever it was, unkosher. So the Gemara says, hold one second, how old was the knife? Right? That's a good question, right? Apagav de amar mar, even though Mar said... Noten tam lifgam mutar. Right, remember, what is noten tam lifgam? How old is the knife?
24 hours.
So noten tam lifgam is permitted. So what if I knew that the non-Jew didn't use the knife for more than 24 hours?
How could you
buy it? No, you know, I mean, whatever. You buy the first batch on Monday.
The day after Chatzmah.
Right, whatever. You know, you didn't use it for 24 hours. You saw, by the way, it was a clean knife.
Should be fine.
Then the Gemara says, Agab chorpe dechiltita, because of the sharpness of this item, mechayele shamunita, mehavele kenotein tam dishvach, the aser. This pungent item had the ability to negate the pagam, the defiled taste, inside whatever the non-Jew's knife was, and turn that noten tam lishgam into noten tam lishvah, into good taste. And therefore, whenever he cut up this spice, whatever it was, this chilkis, it was treif, even if he cut it up with an old knife. Now we're in big trouble. Why? Because we just learned that there are items out there that if you cut them, they have the ability to take noten tam lishgam and turn it into noten tam lishvach. Remember, what's the first question the rabbi always is going to ask when you say, Rabbi, I made a mistake? What's the first question we're going to ask?
How long has it been since you used it?
Correct. Why am I asking that question? Because I'm saying, well, if it's more than 24 hours old, no problem at all. You're all set because it's tam lishgam. Now, tam lishgam means defiled taste. So defiled taste doesn't have the ability to impact on an item. So let's say, for example, I was cooking my chicken soup and I accidentally cooked it in my milchik pot. Oy vey! Right? So what's the halacha? In the pot, I said to the rabbi, Shmuel, what should I do? I said, well, first of all, when's the last time you used the pot, the milchik pot? Oh, I don't know, last week. Okay? So my dear sir, the pot has to be kosher. But the soup is kosher, 100% kosher. Why? Because the milk tam that was in that pot is tam pagum, defiled taste, and therefore doesn't have any effect on the chicken soup. But now I'm learning, whoa, I've got a knife. Okay, I've got a clean knife. It's a phallic knife. I know for a fact I've eaten many a steak with this knife. Okay? So somewhere in here, there's Tom Pugum. This is a phallic knife. The reason we say it's a phallic knife is because there's defiled milk taste, meat taste, inside this knife. If I would cut up this chilkis with it, what would the chilkis become? Phallic. Absolutely phallic. What about if I cut up this onion? Does the sharpness of the onion have the ability to bring out that taste just like chilkis or not?
Apparently so.
So if you look on the side, the Gemara says, okay, see what the Tosfos said, Yesh Mefarshim, some say, in the times of the Rishonim, Kumo Kein Debatzal, the kaflo shenechtach v'sakin shel ovin v'chavim. The same is true of onion and also other sharp vegetables that were cut by non-Jew. The lo sagile beklipa. It's not enough to take a clay klipa, a small amount. Why? The agav chorpe balatfe, because of its sharpness. The two items of the pressure of the item and the sharpness of the onion. It makes more of a bulia, more of an absorption, and therefore it's more bolea. Okay? So, and there was machlokas. B'shamati says b'shem haram, and I heard the name of Rab Meir, right? The chilta tadavka. No, the Gemara was only talking about that spice. Okay? The charifei, the low batzel v'kafla, and not onions. So you had a machlokas rishonim, a huge debate among the rishonim. Does this stringency of the Gemara that says, this is an unbelievable thing, that defiled taste in an item can be procured, can be reinvigorated, can be brought back to life. Does it apply only to that chilteta, or can it apply to sharp foods as well? Okay, how do we pass in? So I'll just share with you. Look at the Rush, source number 3. I'll read it for you. Somebody asked the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel. The Rush lived in Spain in, when? 11 or 12? About 12 or 13. Something like that, okay. He was a Rishon. Give or take 100 years, right? What's 100 years when you're looking back? Doesn't mean anything to us, okay. So he says, Sha'alti, see this is Lamed Chet, 38. Sha'alti, had Rabbeinu Meir, al Tzenon, Shenechtach, Besakin, Sha'ov, Gachavi. And I asked Rab Meir, Ma Rami Rotenberg. Rab Meir, now, by the way, this is one of the beauties of the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel. Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel ended up in Spain. It wasn't the beauty of the Rush, tragically in his life. Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel was born and lived in Germany, but because of persecution, the Crusades, he was forced to flee for his life, and he ended up as a rabbi in Spain. So the Rush was a unique blend, because he learned in one school, and then he traveled to a total another school of thought. So the Rush can write. I asked the mayor of Rottenberg, where is Rottenberg?
Germany,
right? I was in Germany. Now he's teaching the people in Spain the halacha from Germany, which is a huge deal, bigger than you think. What about a radish cut by a non-Jew with his knife? She'eno ben yomo. Right? That is more than 24 hours old. V'zel shono tshuvato. This is what he answered. He says, I don't know if I should compare that radish to that piece of spice, the asrei lei beperek bei to avoda kochavim that they forbade, the apilu besakin she'eno ben yomo agav chorpe machal yale, and even with a knife that's more than 24 hours old, umasha asar. He says I don't know. Umasha asar b'sefer hatruma apilu tsnon ukreshim ubitalim v'dima lo oto lekorit shel chutis. So the sefer hatruma, another rishon, he did say that was prohibited. Shemati gedolim shechokim alav. I heard there are many great rabbis that disagree with that opinion. So what I'm going to show you is that what we end up with is a machlokes rishonim, a debate amongst those foremost rishonim about whether we can apply to a radish or not. Does this become a phallic onion or not? Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Turn to page 3. Okay? Page 3, please. I've got my onion. I'm going to go for it. There's no residue. Now there's onion on the knife, but there was never anything. There's nothing on here, right? Did I make this a flaccid onion or not? What do you say, Harriet? In your mind, I did, of course, right?
Yes.
Halachically, did I?
I'm assuming you
did. Yes?
Yes.
You're all saying yes?
I'm assuming you're going to be using anything. I already got a problem about kashra.
About what?
Is it about kashra if I'm using it for educational purposes?
Yep.
I could take it home, but I got a melted onion, a flaccid onion. Anybody in the mood for onions? My father, Alav Hashalom, I remember vividly, used to eat raw onions like they were apples. And we thought it was gross then, and I think it's gross now. I really wasn't bad. I don't know how he did it. Okay. Now, let me ask you a better question. Could I eat one of these onions and then eat the other one?
Which one first?
Flaccid can I eat? For those listening at home, this is a cucumber. Eat the flaccid and then eat the machad?
If it's flaccid, then it's machad.
No.
What?
No.
You have to wait.
If that's flaccid, then it's machad.
When we learn about why we have to wait.
You can eat it right away. The reason you can eat it right away is even if you took a dish that was completely clean, you just don't pass them that way, that even if something is actually flaccid, you have to wait between it. Even if you can eat it together.
We're going to see. Right, we're going to see. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Look at Shulchan Aruch. Simen Sadi Bavatatab. Sheif Aleph. Sinon. A radish or shulka. I've conveniently written in the word for you. Beets. Shechatcham besakim shel basar ben yomo. It's either ben yomo. O she'eno mekunach. Or it's not mekunach means cleaned off. Okay? That's Ben Yomo and a Makunah. So let's say this was on the plate, not a Makunah. So it's Ben Yomo, and it's also not cleaned off. Then, Asur le'achlam b'chalav, I cannot eat this onion with milk. Ad sheyito mimakom hachtach kidei netilat makom. Until I take off kidei netila, a sickness shehu k'ovi ha'etzba. So I have to take another knife and cut off probably the other kind of knife, a piece of onion, right, that thickness.
Would you use the other kind of knife?
If I wanted to use it for the other one, yeah, sure, you'd have to. Right? This is the milchic one. Okay. So if I took a flaccid knife, I'd have to cut off beyond the kidei netila, because over here it's part. And then discard the other one.
So it didn't affect the whole onion?
No, just kidei netila. Right, but of course.
I'm sorry. What does that mean?
Kidei netila means the thickness of an etzba and the width of a finger. It could be even more. Some say up to an inch. Okay, it depends on the thickness. Okay. Oh, shiyikamenu, or you have to taste it. Lo yehei bo tam basar, and it doesn't taste like meat. Azmutar hadachah. Now all the nosei kalim, the commentary say we don't know how to taste that anymore. We just don't do that. V'yesh omim. Some say dehu hadin. The same is true. Le'eno ben yomo v'hu mekunach. The same is true if I took a flaccid knife, this knife, eino ben yomo, and it's clean, a clean eino ben yomo knife, an old eino ben yomo knife, the same halacha is true, and what is the din of this onion?
Flaccid
onion. It's a flaccid onion. Why? Because somehow, in the halachic process, you don't have to prove it scientifically, it's a halachic process, the flaccid taste, that was the steak that was in this knife, that was defiled, the sharpness of this onion has the ability to reinvigorate and make this a flaccid onion. Not something we can see, but that is something that we paskin. And if you didn't take off, and you cooked it with milk, you need 60 times the amount of thickness that the onion touched. So if I chop up an onion, right, with a flaccid knife, and I cook it in a milchic pot, and make milchic soup, a pyro, let's say pyro soup. What kind of soup is it really?
Flaccid.
Okay, let's go back to our page one, go back to our example. Page one, I lost my pages, here we are. Accidentally used a flaccid knife to cut an onion on a milchic cutting board. Okay, what's the status of the onion?
Flaccid.
The onion now we know is flaccid. Very flaccid. Okay?
Or possibly it's the cutting board because if you cut into the plastic.
So I spoke to a posek today and he said that he didn't feel, it's a machlokas in the poskin. whether the cutting board, whether the sharpness extends down into the cutting board, or whether you say that it stops at the cutting board.
No, a lot of cutting boards have glue to them.
They do. It's true. He told me that he did not feel, but my boss said he did not feel that she had to kosher the cutting board.
I think separate cutting
board. Oh, that's good too.
Well, yes, you use the middle of the cutting board.
Use a middle of the cutting board with a flachic knife. Got it from again. Okay? She then put those onions in a milchic pot and made a pyre of soup. No, she did not.
No, she did not.
She made it, cut right. She made it made a flachic soup in a milchic pot. She then ladled the soup from the Calphalon nonstick pot into milchic bowls and ate it.
She forgot to say what the ladle
was. Ladle was milchic. Yeah. Mm. Is the soup kosher?
She has some shopping to do.
Now, is the soup kosher?
The soup's kosher.
Good.
The soup
is kosher. Is it milchic or flachic? Good. What's the status of the knife?
Still flachic.
Knife is flachic. Good. Cutting board?
One second.
Cutting board is machlokes. The post-it told me that it was. See how complicated this is, because the thing that got me was also the cutting board, because when you cut down, right, you cut in,
yes.
Are you driving, am I driving onion into there?
That's why
it's
so
no.
Even if she put a piece of meat on it, it was clean.
Right, but I cut into it. The question is, remember, anytime you cut with an right, does a knife affect only the food, or does it affect the cutting board as well? So he felt, even though there are grooves in it, nonetheless, right, there are grooves because I cut into the cutting board, but that's only the food in the cutting board. I can rinse that off. The food becomes the tom of the knife and not the cutting board. It's a machlokes. You can see both ways.
But the juice of the onion.
Correct, but the juice of the onion, remember, but it's the pressure of the knife together with the sharpness of the food.
Right, but actually what it is, it's the onion.
It's the pressure of the knife. See, the pressure of the knife. Right, the pressure of the knife.
And you're putting it into the board.
And you're putting it in the board.
I understand. So you can be masculine. very good. One second. So he did, okay. Cutting board. So he said that was still milchic. Ladle. Kasher, right? Needs to be kasher. Pot.
It was probably 2 pieces.
It was a clean rishon, right?
No. Ladle's probably 2 pieces.
Oh.
As opposed to 1 piece. So.
Yeah, you probably can kasher. We have to see. You have to check the ladle. Good. And pot. What's the status of the bowls?
What
are
they made of?
Pot needs to be kosher. What's the status of the bowls?
Depends what the bowls are.
What? Corral.
What did you say? Depends how hot the soup is when you put it in.
Okay, now we come back to remember we learned about Hilchos Shabbos and Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. So now remember, if I poured into that Hebrew Kli Rishon, okay? So is a ladle a Kli Rishon or is a ladle a Kli Sheni? If it's a Kli Sheni, remember, Kli Sheni cannot be Mevashel. So now, this is where rabbis start to be mitzaref to combine different psakim. Remember, even though the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that we say that this is a flachic onion, okay? Nonetheless, that would be a paskin, like one opinion. But remember, the Sefer Truma and other Rishonim said that it was not a flachic onion. So therefore, we'll take that leniency and we'll combine it with the leniency of the fact that we're not sure if the ladle is Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni, and we're not going to trafe up the dishes because the dishes can't be kashered. If the dishes could be kashered, I would say the kashered, then we suffic. But I'm not going to say you have to throw them away. So you see, by the way, the dishes are milk. The dishes are okay. We suffic. So you see, I'm showing you, just, this is when she asked you the question, I knew what I was dealing with, just how complicated this question is. And it seems so simple. It was cold, right? That's the first question. Cold, ano ben yomo, no problem. No, knife questions are extremely complicated and involved. And for that reason, that's why you have to be, aware and knowledgeable of what you're doing, and you have to be meticulous about it, and you have to make sure you ask your rabbi when halakhic questions come up. Okay.
So we answer questions 2 and 3?
Let's answer it next week. Because we'll answer it next week. Okay?
How do I know when rabbi is
what? We'll answer it next week, because there are other things involved. All right, we'll answer it next week.